This morning's reading was from Romans chapter 12, and I read verses 1 to 8, but there's so much in those 8 verses. Today I'm going to focus on verses 1 and 2, and I'll just reread verses 1 and 2 for you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, there's a type of program on the TV that I'm absolutely hooked on, and this will sort of give you an idea into a wee bit of who I am. You'll be said this is a real rare boy this morning. Anything to do with home improvements. Now, it drives my wife absolutely crazy because she knows whenever I come into the living room, then I'll be getting the remote control and changing it to these programs that drive her crazy. Anything interior design, room transformation. And actually, I can indulge myself anytime because there's now channels solely dedicated to that style of program. I mean, I'm sure you know these programs. Grand Designs, Love It or List It, Interior Design Challenge, DIY SOS. In fact, I feel as if I know Kirsty and Phil personally. I feel as if they're my friends. I've watched them so many times. So that's just a little insight into me. Now, the moment of truth in these programs is whenever the transformed room is revealed to the inhabitants of the house. Now, this is the real climax. Over the years, there have been very, very mixed reactions. Some people love the changes, and other people absolutely hate the changes. But one thing was certain. Every room was changed in some way or another. Changed from their old to the new. And there was a very definite transformation for everybody to see. Now, in our scripture reading today, in Romans 12, Paul talks about changes being made, not to our homes, of course, but to each of us who are followers of Christ. Now, in Romans, Paul has spent the first 11 chapters of this letter telling them all about salvation. Now, God has a plan to save us. And the opening section of Romans, he reveals this plan and the wonder of his grace. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, he goes on to tell us about his faithfulness and the fact that he is a sovereign God. And then comes chapter 12. It's like Paul is reminding us of all these things we have, and he goes straight to the point. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Paul has now moved from the theory of how to become a Christian, and now he's talking about the practical application. Now, if you're a Christian, you've received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And so the question is today, what are you going to do with this grace? Are you going to keep it for yourselves? Are you going to hoard it up in case you need it another day? Or are you going to share this amazing grace in the world around you? Of course, God calls us to share this amazing grace in the world around us. But the fact is that we are unable to do this by ourselves. So if we are to share God's grace, something in us must change. The first change is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to open your heart to him and to let his grace flood in, and to really know that you have been saved by grace alone through your own faith in Christ alone. That's the starting point for all of us, each and every one of us. And if you haven't started that yet, please let this be the day when you start the best journey that you will ever go on, the best part of your life, The best gift that God has in store for you is sitting ready, and it has your name on it. So often we maybe come to church and we go through the routine of attendance and being here, sitting in our pew and living the Christian life, but maybe we haven't just connected with Jesus yet. I've been involved with many different churches, and actually one of the encouraging things is some ladies in their 80s had been attending church their whole life. Everyone around them looked at them and thought, wow, what wonderful Christian people. They've been in the choir for 70 years, leading worship, singing, praising God, but hadn't accepted truly Jesus as their personal saviour. But one of their biggest testimonies and the most encouraging thing for me, and the reason I'm sharing it with you today, is that in their 80s, they were able to say, I've been living an empty life. I've been living a false life. And now I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And folks, that's the most important thing. Doesn't matter what other people around you think. Doesn't matter what reputation you have built up. At the end of the day, it's whenever you face Jesus Christ, face the Lord in the day of judgment, and he asks you, what did you do with his son, Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that matters. So please don't walk past it. Even if you've walked past it many times before, accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Once you've crossed that line, the starting point in your journey of faith, Paul says, start living out your life of faith. Now remember, James said that faith without works is dead. Not that we depend on our works to buy our faith, but God has planned out a whole series of things for you to do. There are people that only you will meet. There are things that only you can do, and there are places that only you will be able to go. And these are places like your work, school, university, your daily life at home, times when you're socializing with your friends. We can't all meet tomorrow in Costa, or you can't all see you tomorrow in Jordanstown School. We're not all teachers, we're not all pupils. We're all very, very different. And from this place, we will all be going out into the world in our different places. And we want to show that faith, and we want to show the Christ-likeness. And something that really encouraged me, this is where it starts. When we meet together in fellowship one with the other here in Trinity, it was so encouraging. It was really, the last time I was here, you had swapped seats and you had had a little change, a little jiggle around, a wee bit like DIY SOS or Interior Design Challenge. Everything changed. And that was just wonderful. And I was thinking about that when I left that Sunday. That's such a difficult thing to do. It's so difficult for us just to even move a pew forward or a pew back or come in a different door. That's difficult for us to do because we're creatures of habit. But through doing that, you are stepping out. You're stepping out in faith and you're changing things a little. And this is where it starts, right here. If you can meet your fellow believers here in Trinity and encourage each other, even with a smile or a word or a thought, that's where it starts. Now, all of these times that you go out into the world, God and his Holy Spirit goes with you so that you can share the love of God, the good news of Jesus, and the grace of God with others. So that the grace of God will one day pour out in the whole earth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And who will bring about this day? You will. You will. As you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, we know that Paul was a Jew, and he was a very, very dedicated Jew. And as a Jew, he would have known all about sacrifices because sacrifice was a huge part of their worship. And when they would take a goat or a lamb to the priest to offer as a sacrifice on the altar, they couldn't just bring any old animal. Because this animal, whatever it had to be living. It had to be alive when they brought it. It had to be holy. It had to be physically perfect without any defect or injury, dedicated exclusively to the Lord. And it had to be pleasing. Of course, this was a physical sacrifice. But here in Romans, God calls us not to offer our bodies physically, but Paul tells us this is a spiritual offering. Now, my Greek is as good as my Mandarin, which is non-existent. But whenever I was doing a wee bit of research, the word spiritual, the Greek word spiritual, means in keeping with the nature of a thing. So we are to offer our whole selves to God in a manner that is in keeping with his nature. God wants us to offer ourselves, not animals. Daily laying aside our own desires to follow him, we need to put all our energy and resources at his disposal and trust him to guide us. And we do this out of gratitude that our sins are forgiven. So offer your bodies as a spiritual act of worship. Now Paul goes on to say in verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, when we think about it, it's not surprising that God directs his attention to what's going on inside us. Remember, for although the world is concerned with what's on the outside, God is more concerned with what's going on in the inside. But why does our mind need renewing? Why, if we have come to know Christ, do we need to have our minds renewed? Well, the simple fact is that we are all predisposed to putting ourselves first, to look to what pleases us, to consider what we want rather than to put God first or putting others first. We are all selfish, even though we may not like to admit that. Today, we live in a selfie society. Now, gone are the days when you took photos of other people with a camera. Now your phone has a camera that does everything than just phone people or text people. Now, I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to technology. I got my first smartphone in February, and I'm 32. So I think I'm a bit slow with getting up to date. But now your phone is actually set up that you can switch the screen and you just take a selfie. And there's selfies everywhere. So many people are taking selfies. It's all you see everywhere you go. I've got really good at like being a contortionist. You know, you get yourself into so many shapes to try and get your head into the photo. It's really to get you in there. And it's self. Why do we do it? I don't know. But I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. You just want that big head right in that photo. Now, this selfie attitude infiltrates our daily lives. It makes it more difficult to abstain from conforming to the pattern of the world. It becomes more and more difficult whenever we're putting ourselves first in every aspect of life. Now, it is good to celebrate your achievements, to celebrate your success. God has given us many gifts, many talents, and many abilities that we must thank him for and give him the glory for. And that is good to recognize that as well. But how many times is our response the one which satisfies our own desires? That's why God said, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So, folks, we actually need a double work of the Holy Spirit to help us present our bodies and renew our minds. Now, interestingly, the only other time this word renewal is used in all of the New Testament is in Titus 3, verse 5, where Paul says this, God saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Start allowing God and the Holy Spirit to transform your life today. When you become a Christian, there should be a change in your life. A committed relationship to Christ Jesus should make you into a more Christ-like person. And I'm afraid if that's not happening, something's wrong. Because the very word transformed means to be changed. To be changed from one form to another. like a caterpillar changing to a butterfly or a tadpole changing into a frog. Now, the transformation that Paul talks about doesn't just happen like that. It's an ongoing process. It's not a one-off. It's a lifetime process. It's a continual transformation. But what are we being changed into? Now, Paul himself, if you go back to Romans 8:29, tells us that the Lord wants to make us more and more like Christ. We will be changed into the image of the Son. 1 John 2:6 says, we are to walk just as he walked. So let me encourage you, learn all you can about Christ and pattern your life after him. But how do we do this? Now, some of these suggestions that I give you are not groundbreaking, really. First thing, soak yourself in the Word of God. Read your Bible. That's where you will meet Jesus. That's where you will learn about his nature and his character. And that's where you will hear the promises he has made for you. That's where you will come to know the gifts that he has given to each one of you. So read your Bible. Read it more than you've read it today. You could maybe switch off the TV for 30 minutes or half an hour and meet Jesus in your Bible. Maybe you could try and get up 15 minutes early. I know that's so, so difficult to do, especially in the dark mornings. But read your Bible in the morning and hear what plans God has for you that day. Read your Bible with your wife or your husband, your children, your friends, and see him transform lives. You could spend time with mature believers. Now, it's amazing how much we can learn from one another. When you see a life that has been transformed and is continuing to be transformed in Christ-likeness, it's so helpful to learn from them. If you think about children, children learn so quickly from each other. They can learn from us. They learn from their peers. And if they see something, they just copy it. Simple as that. Now, we sometimes refer to them as little copycats, okay? And we would call maybe each other a copycat, or they may be in the playground, you copycat, copy of my work. Now, when it comes to your walk with Christ, wouldn't it be a wonderful compliment if someone were to call you a copycat, for to be transformed and to keep on being transformed in Christ-likeness is exactly what Paul is saying to us here. So offer your bodies as living sacrifices and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no doubt that we all need to keep on offering our whole lives to Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep on keeping on being transformed into Christ-likeness. So I trust that this message has been clear this morning, that you will have gathered what the Lord has been trying to say to you today. And I trust as well that you will go into the world tomorrow, this afternoon, read your Bible and just absorb yourself and just look to Jesus and copy him every step of the way. Amen.